Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. Today we're doing part two of misleading slogans. Yesterday we took apart the Take Back Control slogan, and today we want to talk about the bill that has just passed Parliament, which makes it illegal for Britain to leave the EU with no deal without parliamentary consent, which Boris Johnson and his pals are insisting we call the Surrender Bill, as part of his propaganda war. So, first of all, why is Boris Johnson doing this?
Because he wants to win the forthcoming general election, which without a doubt will occur within the next couple of months at the very most.
So it's part of his propaganda war.
It is indeed, yeah. It's all over Twitter, hashtag Surrender Bill. It's not exactly a slogan, but it's in the same ballpark. You know.
Definitely designed to make the opposition look bad, though.
Yeah, well, what he's doing is he's setting up a story which poses like the people against Parliament and casting Parliament as the villains, and
himself as the hero.
Yes, himself as the hero, and his party as the heroic band that accompanies him on his God-anointed mission to make Britain great again, or some kind of shit like that. So that's what it's about. I should mention the context, I think, as briefly as I can. The context is that Parliament is prorogued, and it's the 10th today, 10th of September today, Parliament prorogued last night. That means it's non-functional. The doors are locked, there's no committee work, no discussion, no bills, no debates, nothing there for about 5 weeks. And as you said, this bill, which has been dubbed the Surrender Bill, was passed and has now got royal assent in pretty well, you know, very short order, very quickly, because otherwise the UK was going to leave the EU, possibly with no deal, even though Johnson claims he's trying to get a deal, on October the 31st. And Johnson went on record and saying, you know, do or die, come hell or high water. And he was just going to damn well make sure that even if there was no deal, if the EU wouldn't settle on anything, any withdrawal agreement to smooth the exit of the UK from the EU, that the UK would just leave. And so overnight at 12 midnight on the 31st of October, that all the EU regulations and treaties and agreements about imports and exports and trade and financial passports and movement of people and cooperation on policing and all kinds of stuff would just suddenly cease there. And very, very many economists think that this is a pretty damaging effect on the economy. And, well, we'll see about that. You know, until it happens, nobody knows exactly for sure. But even Johnson himself says it will be bumpy. There will be bumps in the road.
So, well, the government's own report is preparing within 2 weeks of the no deal happening for mass panic when people suddenly realise what's happening.
Oh well, there's another story there. The government's dubbed getting ready for this eventuality Operation Yellowhammer, and Parliament last night, it wasn't a bill, but passed a motion that requiring the government to make public the papers, the discussion papers on Operation Yellowhammer, because it's all been done in secret. But what's been leaked out is talk about shortage of medicines, food shortages. The police have been put on the ready for civil unrest as well. So anyway, it's the judgment of the opposition parties, including obviously the official opposition, the Labour Party, but also the Scots Nationalists, the Welsh Nationalists, even the Liberal Democrats and a number of Tories got together to stop this, to stop this from happening, to stopping there being a what's people call a crash out.
They did incredibly well considering how little time they had.
Yeah, they did it, and it's actually a credit to Corbyn doing all the wheeling and dealing behind the scenes. People kept saying he's not a politician, you know, but that kind of shit, you know, he's really good at it. And I think it's a credit to him that he got them together. Anyway, that's a bit of background. And 21 Tory MPs were actually sacked. They had what is known as the whip withdrawn. And there's some pretty senior Tory people, including the guy whose name escaped me, who was Theresa May's Chancellor. And, you know, senior people like Ken Clark, and who was in Mrs. Thatcher's government.
So these people were sacked by Boris Johnson, from his own party.
Yeah, for voting with the opposition to prevent this 31st of October no deal, no transition agreement, exit of the EU by the UK. One Tory MP had already crossed the house to the Liberal Democrats, which he did actually just by walking across the house while Johnson was giving a speech. And since then, Amber Rudd has resigned from the cabinet. So it's like the Tories are in a bit of internal meltdown, really. So obviously Johnson's livid and fighting back and wants to win an election.
You know. And he's doing this through more propaganda.
Well, more propaganda,
like,
yeah.
Calling it the surrender bill.
Yeah, but the bee in my bonnet is that we're in this post-truth era in which any kind of idea of adequation is truth, by which I mean, you know, just that simple, ordinary truth that can be, you know, whereby a proposition could be settled by some kind of appeal to the world we live in, reality, inverted commas. You know, the facts has kind of gone out the window. And okay, I can hear the Navarra media guys saying, oh, well, suck it up, that's the nature of parliamentary politics. It's just slogans and polemics and rhetoric.
Yeah, but we're all doomed if we just leave it down to that, aren't we, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's been ever thus. And as I mentioned yesterday, if you read The Sophist and The Statesman that Plato wrote hundreds of years before Christ, you can see these issues were as alive then as they are now. But it seems to me, okay, yeah, we've got to suck it up. We are in this situation of rhetorical war. But we surely should be at least getting a programme together to kind of shift things over to something rather more reasoned and rather more...
A bit more civilised, really.
Well, I don't know. You can't really be civilised with these psychopaths in some ways, you know what I mean? It's like, but...
With a little bit of compassion thrown in would be nice.
Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath on that one. So that's my point. And I know it's a bit quixotic, and I know that the reality is that it is just a slanging match. So our futures are being decided on a slanging match. You know, or it can come up with the best... slogan that's going to resonate the most deeply with people's deepest fears and anxieties and regrets and all the dark sticky stuff in the back of their brains. And if you listen to yesterday's podcast about take back control, you can see that Dominic Cummings just freely admits that that is how they operate. And of course, if you read Bernays' propaganda of 1928 or whatever, you'll see all this stuff mapped out. I mean, Bernays tried to say that this could be done ethically, but he's not very convincing. You can't fucking do it ethically from what I can see, you know. So that is my concern. And this hashtag...
Surrender Bill.
Surrender Bill. Is really of the same type as the slogan, Take Back Control. It's designed to resonate... with the irrational parts of our being, and thereby that in that way to manipulate us into thinking a certain way, acting a certain way, and voting a certain way. And in this case, just think about it, surrender. Well, what's surrender about? Surrender is about war. Surrender is what happens when one side loses a war. So there's a couple of things going on there. Johnson is trying to construe the negotiations between the UK and the EU as a kind of a war. There's a war between opposing sides, you know, wars are things in which people get killed and so forth. So you can take issue with that very, very easily. Actually, the UK is at this moment still a member of the EU. So are we at war with ourselves? But Johnson wants to construe it that way. And of course, people are picking this up, and you'll see on Twitter, you'll say, you know, the Parliament are collaborators with a foreign power, and they should be charged with treason. This is because members of Parliament have actually been talking to their counterparts in the EU to try and get something done. But that is collaboration with a foreign power, and it's treasonous. And people who think there's a future in Europe are traitors, you know. So you can see how it's working. It is actually already working. People are parroting this shit. Now, the other thing that Johnson and his gang are doing with this hashtag is plugging into resonances with World War II. And this has been going on ever since the Brexit thing started. And you'll hear people say, and somebody said this to you the other day, didn't they? You know, when you were having a discussion in the street about no deal. Somebody said, oh, well, we survived two world wars and we're still here. Yeah.
We will, and then they said we will survive Brexit.
And
I was hearing this sentence like over and over again.
Yeah, well, you will hear
like
it.
Just being trotted out you'll by
hear it,
people.
You hear it over and over again, and certain parliamentarians have been guilty of it. There's one guy who was a complete idiot, and I forget the guy's name. He's so idiotic, I can't remember his name. But saying, "Oh, my father didn't surrender to Germans, and I don't surrender to," you know. Oh. So they're kind of playing this folk memory of when plucky Britain was alone. I mean, for a start,
yes.
that is pretty well a myth. There was a certain amount of isolation right at the beginning, 1940. But even that doesn't make that much sense, because Britain at that time had a huge empire. Canada, Australia, New Zealand, India, and they all sent soldiers, you know, they all eventually sent soldiers to fight on behalf of the UK. I mean, it was the British Empire that was at war. And the Americans waded in pretty early, even though they didn't officially declare war right early on, not until Pearl Harbor. They were, however, feeding Britain, sending foodstuffs across the Atlantic, lending ships and armaments on the lease lend. And Britain, you know, was not alone. It's actually a constructed myth and a part of the... Well, you say the folk memory, but there's not so many people around who were in it. And the people who parrot this stuff weren't even fucking a twinkle in their granddad's eye, some of them. And they parrot this bloody nonsense. But Johnson knows what he's doing, saying that surrender, you know? Never surrender. He fancies himself like some kind of Churchillian. In fact, he wrote a book about Churchill, which is pretty crap. And he suffers from these delusions himself, you know? And this is what they're trying to do, trying to get into this nostalgia, which is really a kind of a collective insecurity. It's kind of a collective psychosis caused by an insecurity of identity. Because this is a country which lost the biggest empire the world's ever seen. You know, and it lost it. It went the way of all empires. It disintegrated. They rise and they fall, as Gibbon said. The American empire is currently falling. It's got a long way to fall, and it's a different style of empire. But do remember that the US has got bases in over 100 countries. And a lot of what we've seen in the kind of a global turmoil on many levels, it is in some sense the symptoms of the beginnings of the end for the American empire. So there's all kinds of like psychological stuff going on there, and they know what they're doing. This is probably this has got the mark of Cummins's handiwork. Surrender bill. And all it's done, it hasn't said there won't be a Brexit, it just says we're not going to let you come out with no deal because of the economic consequences. And we're not going to let you fudge it by having a general election that you can set the date of in such a way that the crash out happens on the 31st of October anyway. And I know people say, well, let's get it done, all this kind of nonsense. Because it's been delayed. I've had an extension on Article 50, you know, back to this October the 31st. And but this is a change that's gonna affect the future for the next generation, maybe the next 50 or 100 years. And so a couple of weeks here and there really is no reason to panic from what I can see, you know. Yeah. Even if I was a Brexiteer, I'd be thinking, well, okay, you know. But I say what interests me about this isn't so much the, you know, Brexit, no Brexit, whatever, but this use of language and use of the slogan. And then I tried to get it to go viral, you know, and it's gone pretty viral. And the gutter press framing it, as people say, in precisely those terms, you know, surrender to a foreign power. We've give up, we've given the whip hand to the EU. Now, Johnson's argument was that he is trying to get a deal, right? He is trying to get a deal. Even though the European negotiators are saying they've done nothing. But they've basically more or less said, well, he's lying. They're doing nothing. But he's telling the British public he's trying to get a deal. Mm-hmm. But he's got to have no deal on the table. There's a bargaining chip, but it don't make very much sense. Because it's like saying, putting a gun to your own temple and saying, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to shoot myself in the head. Yeah. And this is what Oliver Letwin said in Parliament. Very senior parliamentarian, nasty Tory, but there you go, who advised Mrs. Thatcher. He's been there that long. He got up and said that, and of course he gets chucked out of the Conservative Party. Somebody else said it as well. Nicholas Soames said precisely the same thing. He says you don't negotiate by threatening to shoot yourself in the fucking foot, you know. So people are thinking, well, this isn't really true about him trying to get a deal because nothing's happening. Nothing concrete is happening. And that really that's just like a bit of a diversionary tactic to cover up the fact that they really, him and his pals really want this crash out, no deal. And I think they have a fantasy they're going to get an agreement with the USA, because Trump keeps saying, oh, we'll give you a great agreement. Will they hell, you know? They'll fire sale the NHS is the first thing they'll do.
Oh, yeah, they'll completely screw us.
Yeah. Except what they forgot is that, you know, there's an enormous Irish lobby in the US Congress, in both the Senate and the House of Representatives. Enormous. And they've signed a letter to Boris Johnson, the Irish lobby in Congress, saying, well, we ain't going to cooperate with this because what you're proposing will damage Ireland. I mean, the Irish are not very happy about any of it, you know, because the Irish and the UK economies are tangled up together in a way that it's going to have a big effect on the Irish economy. So there's a lot going on. And Johnson's framing it all in this manner, which construes it as a kind of a war for national independence, with great resonances with World War II, with plucky little Britain going it alone. All actually factual bollocks, but all actually as well doing this reprehensible thing of like attempting to manipulate people's somewhat, shall we say, irrational emotions and the kind of the dark sticky parts of people's psyche. So that's my problem with it.
So we've talked around this quite a lot, but really, I mean, it's very, very transparent and easily dismissed in a few sentences, really, isn't it? It's obvious what he's doing.
The thing is, it works though. I mean, he's got all the gutter press thing in it. It's viral all over Twitter. People are parroting it and saying, "Oh, let's round them up and hang them from lampposts," you know. And it's all on the basis of the manipulation of the irrational part of the British psyche, and you look for any kind of factual base in it. I mean, it's just factually wrong. Britain didn't really stand alone, at least not for very long, you know. And anyway, this thing's always survived two world wars. This is to remind people: 50 million people worldwide died in World War II. You know, 50 million. Why do it to yourself when you don't have to?
Those people actually didn't survive the war, did they?
And of course, they didn't survive it, did they? A lot of people didn't survive. Why would you?
Oh, we survived. Actually, a lot of people didn't survive.
No. I think there's a kind of masochism going on there. There's a lot of people who actually want the pain, you know? They want the pain. They believe that some kind of catharsis will heal stuff. I mean, as we said yesterday, you know, there are very, very many people globally, and not just in this country, suffering from resentment for because of stagnant wages, job insecurity, 0 hours contracts. You know your kids can't get on can't live up to a standard of living that you enjoyed. For the first time, our children are not able to surpass us economically and in terms of life expectancy is going down in the UK. You know, this is a suicide, and in the USA, you know, and there's a lot of resentment. 11 years of austerity, there's a lot of resentment, and as I said, the propagandist who is working for the status quo, for the 0.1%, really, his job's very simple, and it is to divert the blame for that. That resentment and that impoverishment that's taking place, to divert the blame away from the people who are really responsible for it. The capitalists, onto immigrants and traitors, and now, you know, goodies, it's all goodies and baddies, you know, and now it's like Parliament against the people. And you're going to keep hearing this. That's what surrender bill, Parliament of the traitors against the people. And it's as though Parliament didn't consist. It's the one bit of democracy we have got in a very undemocratic country.
If we're going to change the slogan, perhaps like "Victory Bill" would be better.
Well, it was victory for elected representatives.
Yeah.
Over an executive that's got no majority. He's now got his majority is minus 40 something because of these people leaving.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy's still the Prime Minister. This is how Parliament was able to take, you know, the floor of the House was able to take over, because he's got no majority. You know, and without a majority, how can he claim to have any kind of mandate or to be representing the people as an executive? I mean, some people are saying, oh, well, it's a big danger because the people are sovereign and the referendum should carry more weight than the votes of our elected representatives. I mean, that's stupid for a couple of reasons. One reason is that it was an advisory referendum, it's not legally binding. Another is that the surrender bill, so-called, was only to stop the no-deal Brexit. You know, stop Brexit per se. Brexit's still got a pretty good chance of happening. So, that. And also to say, well, there's this huge amnesia around the fact that the parliamentarians are elected, and then elected to a law-making body, and say that's the one bit of democracy we've got. We've got the fucking unelected second chamber. We've got the hereditary head of state, all kind of stupid stuff that works in favour of the status quo. We've got the Privy Council. We've got virtually no workplace democracy anywhere across the country. We've got this one bit of democracy. We can elect MPs. Anyway, that's me having a little rant.
All right then, I hope you found that useful. We're going to finish our walk. We're starting to climb down the mountain now. Past some very contented looking sheep.
It's very bright, isn't
it? So again, we wish you were here because it really is really lovely today.
The sun is sparkling on the water.
Yeah, we're actually looking out over the sea right now and it looks fantastic.
And these little sheep pastures, they're really green, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway,
wish you were here and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening.